Hi everyone, welcome back to the Indian Music Charts podcast. This is a show where we break down the hits and analyze trends in the Indian music industry. This week, we're discussing the rise of the genre iPop. As the Indian music business works towards creating an identity for non-film music, we look at what it will take for a term like iPop to become an established genre along the likes of K-pop. Or is iPop merely a marketing exercise? We discuss this and more, but first let's take a look at key movements on the charts this week.
Okay, let's see what's up on the charts. This week's highest new entry at 93 is a very interesting one. It is a 1991 track. Most people who grew up in the 90s, and if you heard Tamil music, you've 100% heard this song. I have, even though it was before my time. It is Kanmani Anbudh Kadalan. It's from the movie Guna. It was an Ilaiyaraja composition. S. Janki sung it. It was pictured on Kamal Haasan. The reason why this track is back in the charts is because it was synced to a new Malayalam movie called Manjumal Boys. So if you're wondering about the power of sync, this is it, my friends. We also have a whole episode about it, which you can totally hear after this episode. The climber we are highlighting, which has climbed from number 27 to number 15, is Sadke by Ashir Wajahat, Nihal Naseem, and I'm hopefully pronouncing this right, Nail? How do you pronounce this, Amit? N-A-Y-E-L?
Nail?
We are pronouncing it this way. Hopefully it's correct. It's a new release from Sony Music. At number one, Animal is back. Pehle Bhi Main. It is for the 10th week at number one, but non-consecutive. For three weeks, I think. Husn had kind of interrupted its reign at number one, but it's now back up at number one. This week's highest climber, climbing all the way from 194 to 57, Savare, is actually the track that inspires today's topic. This is an Akhil Sachdeva track with Karthik Dev. It's released under Play Desi Music Factories, Desi Music Factories, Virgin Music India. It's a little bit of a trifecta over there. More importantly, this topic about iPop came up from this track. And I think there's a lot of reason behind it also because from the major that it's coming from. iPop as a genre, this is something Amit, you and I have discussed very, you know, touch and go. But the topic that we had discussed many, many episodes ago, in fact, maybe I think it was season two on the episode, is non-film music, a paradox, where we kind of landed at is maybe the closest term to define a lot of the music that we discuss as non-film is probably iPop, right? But there's a larger conversation to be had over here just about the etymology of how genres are named, right? Like, iPop itself is following the typical K-pop, J-pop, you know, Latin pop sort of a format. But, and again, we've touched upon it. There have also been efforts in the past to make iPop sort of a genre, and it's sort of resurfacing again. But that said, you know, just to give a little bit of a data point, there is already a playlist on Spotify called iPop Super Hits, and is described as biggest hits from your favorite pop stars. It has everything from Badshah to King to Shubh. So it's a little bit of hip-hop. There's a little bit of pop also. This has 2.1 lakh likes, okay? In contrast, Indie India, which you would assume should have fewer people following it, actually has 7.5 lakh likes. So, you know, it's a bit interesting for something that is obviously top of mind for the industry that is obviously now being pushed by multiple execs and multiple companies. It's relatively new. Tell us a little bit, right, Amit, from your journalistic perspective, how do genres come to be? Like, they're all man-made, obviously.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, so if we had to set the context, I mean, about how these terms really come to be. Now, these subgenre names are most often coined by somebody like a journalist or, you know, who's maybe writing about a trend or a marketing team at a label. And if they resonate, they stick. Of course, you know, it's kind of, nobody can really tell when certain names originated from. If you take just K-pop, for example, you know, the Wikipedia entry for K-pop is where we're getting this. We should sort of, you know, state that up front. But according to that, the first known use of the term K-pop occurred in an issue of Billboard in October 1999, where the article was actually talking about how South Korea is to allow some Japanese live acts. And it was by, the writer's name was Cho Hyun-jin, and he was the Korea correspondent for the magazine. He used it as a broad term for South Korean pop music. But he himself is not sure whether he's the first person to use this term. So similarly, I mean, there's other people that have come up with, terms like J-pop for Japanese pop. And then, there are other terms that have come up over the years, like even Britpop, for example. Now, British popular music has been around since the invention of pop music, but in the 1990s, there was something called Britpop, which was really a term to sort of refer to a certain kind of indie rock. You could say, that was mainly the biggest stars of the Britpop scene were acts like Oasis and Blur. And it sort of had a lot to do with the whole political climate of the time, and this whole, the Labour Party was in power after a long time, and there was this whole Cool Britannia movement. And Britpop was really like a media created thing. It was this whole thing. And but it came to define, it's no longer in use today. To define, say, acts with a similar sound, but it really defines an era. So when you were somebody who was around at the time, not you, Angela, because again, before your time, probably,
Yes, I was
but I was
bebe.
very much around a teenager at that time, and for me, it was like, I mean, if you say the word Britpop, I automatically takes me back to certain, certain music, and so. But those kind of terms, they refer to more like an era rather than a genre. And a similar example is something like indie pop. Like you hear the term indie pop, you automatically are taken back to the 1990s again, right? And
Yeah.
that's an era.
See,
More
that part I
recently,
remember.
yeah, see there. Because it's sort of,
Ish.
I'm a kid when that was the end of the indie pop scene. And more recently, we've got a term like desi hip hop that really refers to something more specific. But South Asian rap, so not only rap from India, Pakistan, it's all comes under this, and the diaspora, in fact, all comes under South Asian rap, aka Desi hip hop. So that just to sort of set the context. Now, you mentioned how certain labels are also pushing this term, and UMG, for instance, was one of the places that really pushed forward the term non-film. And now they're sort of taking the stance and saying that we won't call it non-film, perhaps because they've realized that it's slightly problematic, simply because it sort of, the main issue, as we mentioned in our previous episode, the non-film sort of refers to all music in India in the context of film, which is really unfair to all the other formats of music. Just like the Grammys, you'd refer to world music as everything outside of the US and the UK and the West. So they've probably figured that iPop is a better term. But again, I mean, it's kind of difficult to sort of, fix what this term is, because firstly, just as a very use of the term iPop is not perhaps the best, because Indonesian pop, for instance, has also been referred to iPop, referred to as
You know,
iPop.
I did not know that until
Yeah, and
we prep for this episode. And I should know that I'm going there next month.
oh, that's exciting. And then,
Yeah, so
there's all.
find some iPod fans from
Yeah,
Indonesia.
I'm sure you will. And interestingly, there's also something known as Desi Hits. Now, Desi is a term, and Spotify has a Desi Hits playlist as well. And Desi, very much like Desi Hip Hop, is referred to more, again, looking at it from a more westernized perspective. And Desi Hits is also referred to diasporic music, also South Asian music as a whole. So it's almost like the term Desi is coming from the diaspora. But again, like we mentioned, is iPop then, is it only major label stuff? Like if you look at that playlist, like some of the acts you mentioned, King, Badshah, both on major labels, but you've also got somebody like Shub, who's not on a label, but then does it only refer to popular music as opposed to indie, right? Which is why we said you've got the Indian indie playlist, and none of those acts that are on the Indian indie playlist are on the iPop super playlist. So then is it only popular? Is it pop as in popular? Because it can't be pop as in pop the genre, because then hip hop wouldn't be included. And somebody like
Correct.
Shub, who perhaps dabbles in pop occasionally, is really identified as a hip hop artist.
The other argument to be made is hip hop is so popular, it's pop music. So
Yeah, So I think the critical word that's missing here, and this is something that we discussed in that non-film episode, is that simply, and they won't call it this because I guess it just doesn't sound cool, but what this is really commercial oriented, or commercial being the critical word, whether it's commercially oriented pop or commercially oriented hip hop, that is destined to, I mean, not destined, designed to appeal to a wide audience as possible. So that's my take on this whole, the sort of term. But one of the things we pointed out was these things are often sort of created by marketing departments. And I wanted to ask
Or
you about
journalists. So it's basically
or
our
your
people. It's either your people or my
people.
people.
Yeah. So
Yeah, it's our people.
that was my journalistic perspective. I wanted your marketing perspective as to what you feel constitutes a well-defined and accepted, term for a genre versus what is just simply marketing spiel.
Firstly, I echo what you said about how genres come to be. It's a little bit blurry, okay? Because even for example, with K-pop, there's some amount of information that's available that XYZ journalists maybe coined it, but very often these are all just moments in the cultural zeitgeist, right? So more than one person is usually talking about it. It's very difficult to pinpoint as to who that person might be, right? Or who the first person was, rather, right? For example, even before K-pop and J-pop, let's think about OG hip hop, right? And I tried my best to, and even though I've seen way too many documentaries about the origin of hip hop, it's always been very ambiguous because some people say that, oh, the term came up when, originally Afrika Bambaataa came into the scene, right? There's another school which is like, no, it's members of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, very particularly Keith Wiggins, who came up with it. So there's a lot of discrepancy as to who said it first. Very often, who said it the loudest becomes the person who said it, right? But that said, I will be very honest. I am yet to see an example of a marketing person coming up with a genre name and it actually sticking, which is quite ironic because it's quite literally the job. But to what you kind of, hinted at is anyone can come up with a name, but it really needs to stick. And it needs to stick from the audience perspective, right? Just because a distributor or a label or an A&R person really likes a term doesn't mean culture and society is going to accept it, right? It needs to, A, feel authentic. It needs to also just pop out of your mouth very easily, right? It should not feel like a task to say it, right? So that's why hip hop kind of worked, right? I think it's easy to say, and it's also kind of describing what the genre was in a way. But you kind of zoom out a little bit further, right? Hip hop had a couple of things going for it, which made it a legit genre and a legit community, right? The very simple thing is the five elements of hip hop, right? Which is, MCing, DJing, breakdance, graffiti, and knowledge. It has almost this, scientific way of defining this genre and what it means, right? And when you have it at that level, defined by the people who are creating the music, and accepted by the community who's listening to it, that's actually where a genre is formed. To give you more examples, right, where again, genres like rock and metal, right? Then there is K-pop, which is obviously a version of pop. They all might not be as academically defined the way, let's say, hip-hop and the five elements are, but all these genres and most genres which are well accepted have three things in common. And I'm the first person to say this. Okay, if anyone ever comes up with three indicators of a genre, it is this podcast. Please remember, y'all. But coming to the three elements, right? It's one, unique sound. Number two is rituals, and number three is community identity. So let me kind of explain this, right? Unique sound is pretty straightforward. A rock track when you hear it. You don't need to know where they're from. You don't need to know anything more. That sound is a sound, right? Metal. Some people who don't listen to both these genres think they are the same, but if you listen to either or, they are quite different, right? With K-pop, right? Obviously one of the main elements of K-pop is that it's all in Korean, and I think that's a very distinct identity. But that aside, there is this aspect of ritual around it, right? Like you will see K-pop performances in a particular way. It's really put together. There's dance, there is, like conversation that happens between the fan and the artist. There is, like even hand gestures, right? Which has become so iconic that, the Korean heart gesture that they do, right? These are all parts of rituals in the way these fans greet each other, how you can even identify and you know that another person listens to the same genre without having to even say it, right? And the last thing is community identity, right? It goes beyond music. It goes into fashion. It goes into, your personal preferences. It goes into your value systems, right? Like, again, as someone who grew up listening to a lot of metal, of course, when you were younger, all metal people dressed a particular way, right? Now, obviously, it's not necessary that you still dress like that once you are in a job or something like that. Some people still do. Like, I mean, I know I would wear my metal t-shirts, and like someone who doesn't even know me, that's their cue to be like, hey, we can be friends, even if, like at that point, I don't know that person to listen to metal, right? It's even beyond that. Like it's a lot of things. You're like fiercely very independent. You literally travel to watch music, and these are things that happen in community-driven genres. And for me, the one thing about iPop is that A, it's very nascent stages. That community aspect is still not there. That community aspect might be there for an artist. People are fans of Darshan. People are fans of King. But if you ask me, what does iPop look like, or what are the values of iPop, I cannot answer that question. And I think it doesn't exist just yet. And I think that's a good segue to maybe ask you, now that we've discussed so many well-defined genres and their elements of it, and the fact that iPop doesn't quite have it yet, what do you think iPop needs in the next 5 to 10 years for it to actually become a genre the way we look at K-pop?
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly like you said, there is a certain subculture attached with all of those genres. And, with metal, it's the classic sort of, the horns up sign or the black t-shirt, which are easy identifiers, which is something that you don't necessarily see with, iPop, as you mentioned. But, even when you look at that, like hip-hop and metal, I mean, they are sort of overarching genres, right? They've been global genres. What we're really looking at is a subset of a genre. Like K-pop is a style of pop. So similarly, I-pop is supposed to be a style of pop, namely Indian pop. But let's look at certain things. The difference again between K-pop and say something like I-pop is that let's look at something that has stuck, right? Something that I have seen fans take to. Which is a term, Desi hip hop. You see it on all these sort of groups, and social media. You see like fans using the term DHH. They call it just DHH, in terms of the initials only. But it's become an identifiable term. So it's really that fan adoption that's a crucial thing. But when it comes to iPop, not only does it have that, it has a number of other things that we just like. Let's look at the things that can't be. Now, it can't be everything released by an Indian artist or an artist of an Indian origin, or that's one question. Can it be that? But it seems to be, at least according to Spotify and the way that it's playlisting these acts, it seems very much to be Indian artists from anywhere, which is again something different from Korea, because like you said, Korea is K-pop is in Korean, whereas I-pop can be in Punjabi and in Hindi, which are really the two genres right now, and who knows, in some time it might be even in Tamil or Telugu. It just depends on what takes off, large enough. So that complicates matters a little further. Then you have the fact that, there are other terms, like for instance, when you hear the term Punjabi pop, right, you will think of artists like, say, a Diljit, right? And even there, the Punjabi pop is a term that has now come to include hip hop, because a lot of these guys, they sing and they rap, it just comes naturally to them, right? So there's a lot of blurriness there. But to be fair, even like BTS raps in their songs. So so let's give iPop credit where, like we said, it's a better term than non-film, but it's not perfect. And similarly, Africa has Afro beats. which is a huge umbrella term and takes in a lot. Africa is a continent. India is also a continent in some ways. So basically, to me, I don't think IPOP makes sense because it's just too broad. But if we were to look at it as a subculture, let's just look at it from a label level, right? For me, really what IPOP, and I mentioned this earlier, the whole idea of commercial sounding music, is that it's basically cinematic sounding music that's not in a film. And it's usually based around the themes of love, right? If you just look at the song that we're talking about today, which is The Big Climber, namely the song called Savre by Atul Sachdev and Kartik Dev, it ticks both these boxes, right? It is a song that you could easily imagine being in a movie, but it's not. And it's a love song. As we discussed, there are only three genres in our country:
Correct.
love, happy love.
This also, if anyone uses this in the future, please remember, it
Wait,
was coined on this
we did
podcast.
not invent this.
Oh, actually, no. See, this is what I mean, the blurring of the lines. I heard it in a label meeting many years ago.
Yeah.
Did you hear it from a label, the
I
three
think I heard it at
genres?
the conference, but again, the term is,
I
remember,
heard
like
it from Sony Music. I heard it from someone in Sony Music.
it's not who said it first, who said it the most, or who said it the loudest. Nowadays, we're saying it the most.
We have said it on the record in perpetuity. Therefore,
Yeah.
we own it now.
But
Okay,
now,
no, we don't.
let's look at this slightly more clinically, right? And the whole idea of subcultures. Billboard, again, we're harking back to them, recently published a piece, like just last week, about what US labels can learn from K-pop. And it included things like release multiple versions of CDs and vinyl so you can maximize your sales, stage longer concerts, like really sort of career-spanning 3-hour concerts. That's this is something that established acts like Taylor Swift is already doing, like her Eras Tour, 3-hour plus gigs. She's also doing multiple variants of all her CDs and vinyls. So some big name artists are doing this. But two things are evident from all the suggestions. One is K-pop groups are label manufacturer, and indeed, Sony Music, you just mentioned them, is trying a similar model with the girl group Wish that they just launched. Now, this is a girl group that's modeled around just like a K-pop act, but they sing in Hindi and English, and they have, heavily choreographed songs are written with co-written with someone or written entirely by someone else. I'm not entirely sure, but there's a whole thing. I mean, it's going back to the whole girl group era, but also sort of, upping that at a further level because, there's very sort of, the choreography is next level and all that kind of stuff. So we've seen, and the second main thing about that, besides the fact that they are label manufactured, everything, the entire conversation about everything that we've talked about, like what you talked about, whether it's hip hop, metal, or K-pop, it all comes down to one term. It centers around fandom, and it's not limited to genre. We've seen how some of the acts on this IPOP playlist itself have great streaming numbers. And that's probably what got them on that list because it says IPOP super hits. But some of them, either they can't cut it live or they can't sell enough tickets for their live gigs. And we've seen that. So more than a subculture, for a term to take off, it needs a fandom. And interestingly, we're going back to the fact that Indie India has 7.5 lakh or whatever, followers and likes. I think that speaks to the fact that indie artists have actually managed to create fandoms. Now, again, they are very, maybe they're artist-centric fandoms, like you mentioned. They're not genre-specific fandoms, but that's why I think that indie playlist has come to have so many followers, as opposed to IPOP superhits, which is actually bigger name artists,
It
has
is
fewer.
that, and I will also add to this, it's about indie fans have a shared identity and experience, you know? It's also that. And I think that brings people together. And like, because you have that, like, and you know, indie people, we have certain values, right? There's certain things that we believe in very strongly. Like, for example, the very fact that music must be independent to start with, okay? We also are very live centric, right? And because we have these shared experiences, I feel that, you know, if I like, let's say, two or three indie artists and you would recommend a fourth one to me, I'm more likely to listen to them. And which is why I think even this playlist as a whole is a community because it's a place where I want to discover new indie music, right? I'm not right now necessarily sure I want to discover new iPop, you know?
Yeah, but I think also sometimes lines are blurring. Like, I don't know, maybe you'll find like an Anup Jain on both iPop Super Hits and on an Indie India, I guess, you know, because things are blurring these days. But here's the difference. For that fandom to be created, I think that will only happen if listeners identify these artists for their own music, and sadly, not both for their own music and also for a film star's music. So you have certain acts, you know, that are primarily known for, they dabble in both Bollywood and they dabble in, you know, and a lot of the people in iPops are film composed on this iPop Super Hits, by the way, are the, apart from the ones that we mentioned, it's even got like acts like, you know, I think Amit Trivedi and other artists who have created their own labels to release their own music. But the reason why none of them have sadly been able to make the transition is because their association is too strong, you know. And I know they're trying to get there, but they, you know, the lines are further being blurred. That now, is that what iPop is? It seems to be. It means to. It seems to be that the difference between iPop and indie pop is that iPop is pop being made by the biggest names in the industry, you know, or at least the ones with the biggest stream numbers.
And you know, I have a theory on maybe why this, you know, shift has not yet happened, or it may not happen, is that there's a mismatch of audiences, right? Like, I would think about this as, and I listen to both, okay? And I love me some Arijit Singh, right? Who doesn't? We all love that man's music. And I've seen him live. I absolutely love what he does. But I became his fan for his film music. I became, I don't know, the F-16s fan, or like, you know, let's say Pratik Kuhad fan for their independent music. Very rarely do I want to see one transition into the other. And by that, what I mean is, I love Arijit for film. I'm not even looking for non-film iPop music from him. If it is made available to me, I might give it a listen, but I'm not actively looking for it, right? And I think that's why the shift is not really happening, because the audience came in for film music and they're not going to transfer for independent music or, you know, iPop music. And similarly, like for example, Pratik Kaur also has music that he has in films, right? For example, in Bar Bar Dekho, he does have like a track over there. I didn't listen to that album because Pratik Kuhad has a song in it. I heard it because I saw the film, you know? So that fit of where your audience interest is and why that track was created, I think that sort of needs to match. And that is my fundamental issue with looking at iPop as cinematic sound, right? And that's maybe it's the right definition, but if that is the sound we go after, we are constantly going to go into this loop of not finding an audience who's becoming a fan.
And I tell you why also that could be if you just take about say a label like say a UMG, right, which is doesn't dabble in film music at all, but it's trying to create the kind of music that, like we said, appeals to the mass audiences. And what appeals to mass audiences, right? It is music that exactly like you said. So they're trying to create an Arijit sounding track that's not in a film, you know. So there's nothing to distinguish it. So, but what do you think it needs? I mean, what do you think will help fill that gap? I mean, do you think that firstly, do we need to be changing the definition of iPop from what it currently seems to be? And secondly, and if we're not changing the definition, how do we fill this gap? And secondly, if we are changing the definition, what should it actually be like?
You know, I for one, actually like the term iPop. Oh my God, did I do a pun? You are a bad influence on me.
You did the pun this time. So, yeah.
Damn it. It just took a whole year or more, but okay, fine, I've been converted.
Now you should be punished.
But I do like iPop as a term, to be honest, and I think it's better than non-film, like you said. There's a certain ring to it, right? There's a certain familiarity with it. So I'm team iPop. I'm also looking at the success of K-pop. As much as, you know, philosophically and, you know, ethically one might disagree, but you can manufacture a genre, you can manufacture an industry. Everything in our world is somewhat manufactured, right? So I think it's totally possible. But for iPop to become something very successful, I think what it needs right now is more fan centricity, right? Simply understanding what is it that, who is this audience that we're going after? What is it that they want? Who are the artists that they would like to hear in this format where it is a certain cinematic sound, but they are not in a movie? What I mean to say is we literally need consumer research. And Desi hip hop kind of did it on its own, and I think it was very serendipitous that things came together and happened. But I think we need to figure the identity of the audience first and then create the music around it, because it's not happening as naturally as it did with Desi hip hop, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, is my point of view. The second thing is, I think an Indian element is very crucial, right? And it needs to go beyond language, because we've spoken about it. India, unlike a lot of these countries where it is a mono language culture, we are not a mono language culture. We have never been that, and we should not be changing that. Let's embrace our various languages, right? But beyond that language bit, there is a certain sonic element of what it is to be Indian, right? And this is actually what has given success to a lot of artists. And again, going back to like metal, right? I think Bloodywood has achieved something both in India and globally. And I'm not even, let's discount the global part. Even within India, I think the fact that they've embraced a certain sound, there is this, certain element of Punjabi music also in it. I think it just made it more accessible to audiences even beyond the metal community, right? And they leaned into that Indianness. And what does it mean for pop music to lean into its Indianness beyond language, right? Is it choreography? Like, yes, dance is a very big part of our culture, right? Does it mean that every iPop artist is this larger than life choreographed musical? Honestly, I would pay a lot of money to watch that. A lot of people are paying Taylor Swift to watch that. It's essentially,
Yeah, I
big
mean
budget Bollywood on stage.
that's something what Diljit did right at Coachella. I mean, he had those dancers with
Yeah, and you saw the response to that.
I think that was the whole idea, that you are not giving them some stage choreography that they've already seen, but something that's actually very common in India, but showing them something that is completely unique for them.
Exactly, right? And I think that's something, even as Indians, even though like we are very familiar with it, when it is put together in this very theatrical way, it's extremely entertaining, right? And like, the better the entertainment, the more you're willing to pay for it, right? The more you're willing to invest in it beyond just the experience of, just watching it. Like, I love the performance, I might buy merchandise, right? I loved it enough, maybe I'll buy pay-per-view and watch the concert again. Like, the number of times I watch Circle concerts on like YouTube, there are many ways you can engage these audiences, provided you figure out what is that unique value proposition that you're really offering them. And I think that's where we have a lot of work to do. And I think that's actually what makes it very exciting, for the fact that, okay, people are actually getting behind the term iPop. It'll be far more exciting if we also get behind the audience side of it, understand how we can make this truly unique, very entertaining, and very, very India for India, and also India for the world.
So, going back to the whole idea of consumer research that you mentioned, it just reminded me of that episode we did with Denny about his hit song Chale Jaana Phir. He was talking about how he targeted specifically tier two and tier three cities. And I think right now, with a lot of what this iPop slash non-film slash commercial pop music is, that it is appealing to a certain segment of the audience, which may not necessarily be, say, people like you and me who are, live in the cities and so it doesn't appeal to us, which again goes back to the fact that India is just so broad and how tastes change from, literally region to region. And it's difficult to crack that formula that appeals to everybody. We're no longer living in the, age of monoculture, where basically what you saw was what was, broadcast on MTV, and that was the main way that people didn't know of music. That's why the indie pop era was so successful, because that was all the music that you were getting at that time, and it was good music, so it resonated. I think that just speaks to another challenge of sort of having a broad umbrella term and using that term to maybe market a genre, which I think is essentially what they're trying to do right now with the whole iPop thing. So yeah, I mean, I think the conclusion is that, as we said, better than non-film, but not quite there yet. We'll just have to wait and watch and see where it goes from here.
Yeah, totally. And I think this is one game I would very much like to watch.
Yeah, it will be an eye-popping experience.
You had to get in a pun, right? It's fine. You are
One
anyway
for
like the
one.
king of puns. So yeah, your fans will like our community who tunes in only for your puns would not approve.
I
So
didn't even
therefore you
know
had to get it in there.
there's such a community. But
Our community of a few hundred people are really into puns. So not a bad community to have. But yeah, that is the episode, my friends.